So, welcome to a Social BBQ podcast. It's our third episode. On this week's episode, we have a very special guest joining us, and we'll talk a little Memphis in May. We'll discuss our last contest in DeSoto, Kansas, and then we'll answer, as we always do, some listener questions. And remember, if you've got anything that you want us to talk about, any questions or anything, hit us up on Instagram or Twitter at social_BBQ and SocialSmokersBBQ on Facebook. So as I mentioned, we have a very special guest with us tonight. You may know her, and this may take me a while to get through all this, so you may know her from, as, of course, one of the creators of the Bacon Explosion. You may know her from Chopped, the Today Show. Is that right, or was it Good Morning America? It's probably both at this point. like I said, a whole bunch of other stuff that I'm probably forgetting. You should know her, however, from Smokin' Ribbons, a documentary now on Amazon Prime, featuring your friends here at Social Smokers Barbecue. Ladies and gentlemen, from Burnt Finger Barbecue, Megan Day.
Well, hello. Yay.
There you go. That was a huge round of applause.
That was huge.
Megan, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. Let me just, I guess I'll jump right into it and just say, kind of sounds like you guys have had a pretty uneventful couple of weeks. Has anything super cool happened to you guys lately?
No. You know, we just knitting doilies, hanging out with the kids, not really doing anything. No, yeah. We definitely have been obsessing about a little contest called Memphis in May and went out and, well, we blew the doors off. We had a blast, and yeah, we ended up doing really well and taking Kansas City right in through Memphis to show them that Kansas City can do some barbecue too.
So for those that don't know, Megan and her husband Jason with Burnt Finger Barbecue got second place in ribs at Memphis in May, which is just, I mean, to say you guys are killing it right now would be an understatement.
It's awesome. It's great.
Thank you. Yeah, we it was really, really fascinating to us because we're still getting the score sheets back and we don't understand them. We're laughing because it's just so different than the Kansas City Barbecue Society's style of competing. And so we know we did really well and we took second in ribs, which was our category. But then there's also the way Memphis in May is set up because it's 100% pork. That's it. Pork World Championships. You've got folks that are competing in the whole hog, folks that are competing in the shoulder, and then our area, which was the ribs, which there was about 100 teams, we had the second highest score. But then also they take all the top scores from each of the categories and they award a world champion of all of them, and we ended up third. So we apparently also did better than the shoulder and many of the other whole hog and ribs teams as well. So we were thrilled and can't wait till we really can dive in and understand these score sheets and find out where did we get dinged and how can we be better? Because, you know, second place just means there's room for improvement. So we're going to obsess some more.
So, Megan, for us idiots out here, such as Kevin and I, that have even less understanding of how Memphis works, did you guys get to pick, like you said, you did not compete in shoulder or whole hog, so did you guys pre-register, and are you only allowed to cook in ribs? Can you cook in multiple? Can you cook in only one?
Right.
And then how does that work?
So my understanding, again, we're still figuring this whole thing out. In Memphis in May specifically, you can only pick one protein. So you either go all in for the whole hog or, again, the shoulder or the ribs. We pre-registered. We wanted to cook the ribs. That was going to be our category. And, you know, maybe in other Memphis-style contests, you can do the other categories. But in this particular one, you can only pick one. And then you compete in that category. And it's a blind box, just like in Kansas City Barbecue Society. No garnish, though. So you send it in the white styrofoam box, right?
That's living the dream right there.
Yeah.
Let's go do it. I'm ready to sign up now.
your meat does the talking. And it's you know, we did so much research and we as many YouTube videos as we could find. I mean, we were scouring the internet for anything we could shig, an accidental photo, anything we could find, because it is just so completely different. And then once you turn that blind box in, any minute judges start showing up at your booth and you have to then put on a show for them. That's when the garnish comes into play. So don't hold on to your horses here, kids, because it's like extravagant. I was cutting watermelons and radish flowers and, you know, lemon garnish and cantaloupe and you name it, kale, making it look shiny and beautiful. So you want your show ribs that when you open your smoker to show them, it's not just showing them on the actual grill, on the grates. You're showing them in a garnished environment so that they pop up, you know, the beautiful mahogany rib pops off that green background. And so that's really where your concentration is really to make it look good. And so it's one of those, you know, we, like I said, we just kind of had to learn and figure it out. I was buying garnish books from the 1970s off of the internet to see if I could find, you know, how to make something look fancy. And yeah, anyway, but so it was a blast doing that. So, and then, yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, so I was going to say, so you turn in a blind box, but then you said as soon as you turn in the blind box and the judges have tasted the blind box, and I've heard this about Memphis in May, that they come by and it's, you really, like you, which is obviously totally different than KCBS, but they come by and they interview you and stuff like that. So you have the blind box, and then just to make sure we're getting this, is that they then come by and you interview, they interview you in person and you show your ribs off and get your food off again.
Yeah. So you do a whole new set of ribs. In all, we ended up smoking 16 to 18 slabs, I think, is kind of where we ended up. There was a few that we then did, you know, just for show pieces. And then the other ones were ready to go. So each of those judges could have their pick of what slab of ribs they wanted. And then you pulled them apart. You don't use a knife. I mean, all these little nuances that we had to learn about that style. And they are in front of you, looking you dead in the eye and eating your ribs. And it's a show. You talk about who you are and what your processes were and try to explain to them why they're eating the, you know, the best ribs ever from you, and that you did them just special for them right then and there that day. And, you know, if you're fortunate to be then a top three team, if you're finishing top three out of all of those 100 plus in our particular category, then your ambassador comes back around probably an hour or so after your last judge and says, you've got 30 minutes to flip everything over again. And now four judges are coming back all at the same time, and they're going to eat your, you know, whatever ribs you have left. So as you can guess, being top two, we got to have the opportunity to have those four judges come back. So making finals was a thrill and not something very many teams get the opportunity to do. So we were out of our heads excited. And then we had to get right back down to business because we had four judges on their way. And thank goodness we had enough ribs left over.
Well, that doesn't sound intimidating at all.
You know, but honestly, I mean, it is intimidating. However, they're just people. They're just, you know, they're judges and they're coming in. I mean, they're judgy, but
they're a bunch of Judys.
They're a bunch of Judge Judys. But, you know, they want to know what you've done. And so we were pretty thrilled. We had a chance after the whole process. A lot of those judges came back by to shake our hand and say thank you. So we felt pretty privileged that they wanted to engage with us a little bit more.
So can I ask you another question about it? Knowing you and Jason as well as I do, I know that you guys normally for a KCBS competition don't cook baby backs. So was that a strategic play, or if you wouldn't mind, is that something different for down there, or what was, why baby backs and not your typical spare rib that we would kick in KCBS?
Well, in that moment, you got to love the one you're with. And those judges want baby backs. That's what wins down there. And so we had to do what they're used to. And, you know, part of it, too, was the fact that, you know, we had to kind of figure out how to trim them because it's a different type of trim. They're smaller. It's a different flavor. So we practiced. When I say we obsessed, I really mean this was a year in the making because we went down to Memphis last year. Just, you know, you got to date her before you marry her. And we went out there. Sure. We checked it out. We met everybody. We asked as many questions as we could. We had, I mean, come on, we had a blast while we were there. But it was all to kind of take this in and say, are we really going to make the commitment? And then you don't even know if you're going to get accepted. So we went in and applied. And then once we knew we were accepted, we got down to business and started really practicing with baby backs and how to trim them out. And it was genuinely, we had to do what they're used to and couldn't.
Sure.
We really just couldn't do anything else.
I was going to say, it'd be no different than cooking, you know, baby backs and KCBS. They're not used to seeing that at this point.
No, there's not a lot of teams.
So it's the same type of thing.
Yeah, I think people can win with baby backs in KCBS, but I don't think spares win in Memphis.
Correct.
So what's the application process like to get into Memphis in May?
Well, it's really genuinely just putting down your contact information. And, you know, they say one of the secrets is that you want to seem like you really want to be involved in anything you can be involved in, which is what we were. We said, you know, if we're going to go down and do this, if they want a tour to come by and meet us and, you know, we're going to be willing to do that. So we really put ourselves out there as we were going to do every single one of the ancillaries, the sauce contest, seafood, exotic, beef, chicken, or actually it was poultry. It wasn't chicken specifically. So we wanted to make sure that if they chose us, we were genuinely going to try and be in as many food competitions as we could be in that weekend. And so then, you know, you wait. And then, gosh, I don't even remember when it was, but I think it was maybe end of February, maybe March, before we found out if we were in. So we really didn't find out until, you know, just a couple of months before we had to go. So we had just had some preliminary conversations with some of our sponsors to find out, if we get this, are you in? Because it is a
sure.
large financial commitment. Mm-hmm. And we were fortunate that our, you know, our mainstays, our Fireboard Labs, the thermometer group, they fantastic. They jumped right in on board and actually came down with us. And then also Cook Shack Smokers, which is, you know, our the smoking equipment that we use. And then our Pellets, which is the Barbecuer's Delight. They all three jumped on board and said, yep, we'll help you make this happen. So without them, we would never have been able to do this.
That's great. That's great that they were flexible like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's a larger commitment. So, you know, it's not like you're just saying, can we do one more contest? You know, it's can we do this? And here's the price tag that goes along with it.
So actually, that kind of brings me to another point. I'm glad you brought up sponsorships, because I know that that's something that you guys really excel at. But, you know, we've heard from a lot of teams, you know, how do you get sponsors? Where do you even start on that kind of stuff? You know, is there some advice that you can give to teams who are looking to get sponsors?
Yeah, I absolutely have some advice. So you have to think about what their return is. What is it that you're going after, and what are they going to get out of this? Is it because you're going to be at festivals and there's live interaction with people? Is it that they just want you to do social media for them? Do they want content? Really try to figure out what it is that the sponsor wants out of it. And sometimes they don't know. So you've got to give them some tip in how you're out there representing their brand, whether it's going to be in signage or if it's going to be that you're going to show up with all your extras, leftovers for their corporate meetings. I don't care what it is. Figure out what they're looking for, and then try to cater to them. And don't give them the farm, you know, don't give them too much. But definitely go above and beyond what you plan to do. Thank you notes go a really long way periodically throughout the year. Just a little quick, hey, here's what we've done so far. Thanks for making this happen. I think keeping them engaged, you don't just want their money. You're hoping that their brand can help you get to more contests. Mm-hmm. So explain that to them, that because you've got that, you've been able to be in front of, you know, X number more people. A lot of these festivals and places that you're doing contests at will tell you approximately how many people are coming through there. And if it's not open to the public, then count the number of teams that were there and figure four or five people per team at least were around you and around that brand. Find out if there's things that you can give away, coupons, items, tangible things that you can get into goodie bags. I think there's a lot of things that you can do from that perspective. But really, I go by the rule that if I enjoy their brand, then perhaps we can be an ambassador for them and potentially even, you know, bring a new audience to them. And you have to decide as a team, are you going to accept product or cash or a combination of both? Because there will be a point in time when people start handing you products, and you have to decide if that's what you're going to be, is the person that every time you turn around, there's a new product that they're, you know, talking about, which is fine. And I think there's a place for it, but you kind of have to set yourself up that, you know, we're in a position for Burnt Finger Barbecue that we get to pick who we want to do business with. And it's a great position to be in and a lot of fun, because I think we can really offer great value to those folks because we have limited it to several categories that we really believe in.
Yeah, and that's a great point, is just making sure that you believe in the brands that you're representing.
Yeah, and Twitter is awesome. When it comes to that, I'll shoot a private message or a message over to a company, and I'll say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. This is who our team is. Go check us out. Here's how I use your product is their ambassador programs. And I've picked up two recent, what I'm going to consider to be not necessarily sponsors, but brand ambassador opportunities. One is Weston Products, which is our vacuum sealer and meat grinder. They're awesome. And we are continuing to work with them about potentially getting some brands in our hands and some things that we can do. And then the most recent one, I am officially waiting for a very nice shipment from Duluth Trading Company, because I just love their clothes and their gear. And so we're working with them to look at, you know, wearing some of their products and rain gear and everything else that we need when we do these barbecues. And they love it. Because it's a high quality product and a new audience for them.
Because it literally rains every barbecue.
Exactly. So, in both of those cases, I just sent them a tweet, and here we are. They're ready to roll.
It's perfect weather all week until there's a barbecue.
Well, and it's raining right now as we're speaking on the phone.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And we've found a lot of success through Instagram also. I think, you know, obviously most large companies have someone who runs their social media and things like that. So that's really a great way to make an initial contact with someone at least.
I always say this to Megan as well, and this is 100% a compliment. I think she knows this, but she is the biggest hustler I've ever met.
Hustler, she works, for sure.
Yeah, she works. I know she doesn't know anything other than that, but she works harder and smarter than anybody I know on the sponsorship game. So that's 100% a compliment.
Well, I appreciate that. Again, you're introducing to yourself to each other and trying to figure it out. And I've probably had a whole lot more no's, but we've had some really nice yeses, and we appreciate them and are loyal and support them. So thank you very much. I know there's a couple other cool things that are in the works that I can't wait to talk about, but you know, it's got to be the right time, and everybody has to benefit.
So I want to go back real quick to Memphis in May just for a second, and it's not really about the cook or anything, but I saw that you got to meet Dave Grohl. How cool is he?
Oh, man, he was so cool. He walked in, and I mean, of course, I immediately knew who he was, and I just jumped to the conclusion. I was like, hey, Dave, did you judge today? And he looked at me and he goes, I did judge. And I was like, well, what was your favorite? And he said, well, I can't tell you that, you know. And then someone kind of jumped in and said, hey, you're talking to a lady pitmaster. And he said, what? And he grabs me and he was like, well, I need to meet you. You're famous then. And he like pulls me in for a hug and makes me blush. It was someone caught it on camera. And that's what I ended up posting, because it was kind of so out of the the random blue that he not only did he engage, but he like laid in for a hug. It was really sweet. So
Then
when we ended up making finals, he happened to be walking by and we hugged again.
Man, so,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so I was like, he's pretty much my barbecue BFF, I'm pretty sure. So
yeah, you guys are close now. Yeah, for sure.
He was Jason, go ahead.
Was Jason getting jealous at all?
No, he thought it was excellent. He thought it was excellent. Well, I have this thing because I have really two people that I truly admire and that are living, I guess I would say, and that's Eddie Vedder and Dave Grohl, you know, Grohl. And I had a chance to meet Eddie Vedder on the streets of Seattle outside a nightclub listening to music. And again, he gave me a big hug and was excited to meet someone from Kansas City. So on my bucket list, man, I need to get some new people on my bucket list. I guess it's, I have a knack for finding them. it was absolutely fantastic. And as my understanding is he just party hopped. I mean, he went from place to place and had an absolute blast. So I don't think it was a paid thing. I really think he genuinely was there to go just do Memphis in May, which, by the way, it is like a college room to room, and it's they've lost the ability to go horizontal, so everything goes vertical. And so if you've never been there, it's people build these beautiful scaffoldings and make these party towers, basically, where they just go two and three stories up and right there on the mighty Mississippi. And it is an absolute spectacle, and it's super cool interactions and concerts. It's really a fantastic festival that engages people in the hospitality down there. Every time you turn around, someone was inviting us over for prime rib or steak or ribeye or chicken, fried chicken. I mean, you name Bloody Marys, you name it. Our buddies at U-Bonds, they are fantastic and kept us fat and happy. And we had some buddies, a Hall Pass barbecue. We were able to go to their place anytime we wanted to have some cocktails and some food. So every time we turned around, we were making new friends, and definitely a spectacle to go check out.
Kevin, I think she just challenges.
Yes.
Because as she knows, we like to throw parties. Mm-hmm. So I think that was pretty much a backhanded challenge there that she just threw out.
You have to do it because you got to go big. I mean, we went simple. It is still, you can still be successful, clearly. But if you're going down there to have a party, you go do it.
Nick, we are not ones to overdo anything.
Never. We've never overdone a party.
Well, get Dave Grohl to come and you know,
yeah,
and hang out.
We'll have to get his number from you.
Next thing you know, I'm gonna have a box truck full of speakers and all kinds of crap hauling down to Memphis on a regular basis. So
you would be right par for course right down there. So they know how to do it up, and it's, you know, people have been doing it for decades, like their families, and the guys that were next to us were Chi-Town smokers, but they weren't from Chicago, but their parents all were from Chicago when they first started doing this like 30 years ago. And now it's the second generation and third generation kids that have taken it over. And they were just having an absolute blast, but really could care less about really smoking. There's something called the Miss Piggy Idol contest. And it's basically like, you know, a singing contest, lip syncing and singing contest. And that's what they go to win their trophies for. And you have to cook a category in order to do it. So, you know, that's where their focus was. And they were fun to have next door. Let's just put it that way.
Well, that
sounds right in our wheelhouse.
Yes.
Yeah. Megan, I don't know if you know this, but you are not me, but the other guy here, Nick, is a lip sync battle champion.
I knew that was coming.
Oh, man, that is precious.
There are some pictures that we'll show you. there may be, a full pink outfit with a pink wig.
Sparklers in hand.
You're a firework.
Oh, that sounds precious.
I went all out for the golden microphone, but you know what? I won it.
There you go. I love it. Well, now you can do the barbecue sauce wrestling and the piggy idol and, you know, the shoulder ribs or whole hog, and you'll just have a fabulous weekend.
It's perfect.
Have a beer bomb contest? Because that's maybe something we could enter also.
Well, I don't think there's a trophy involved, but there's definitely a contest. I believe that is the truth. That they're really big in the old ice luge area. That's Ooh. Where everybody seemed to have one of those contraptions going back and forth. So I think there you go. Get one of those dual models there and make it happen.
There we go. I'll make my own trophy and I'll bring it down.
I like it.
What's next for you guys? I mean, you guys always seem to have something up your sleeve? Or is there anything that you can talk about? I know you kind of alluded to some stuff earlier, but.
Yeah, sure. So we were really fortunate when I was on Chopped. There was a great producer that I worked with, and she switched over to a different Food Network show called The Kitchen, which is Saturday mornings. It's their version of a food talk show, and they bring guests on. She said, "Hey, will you and Jason come on The Kitchen?" So we were fortunate to get to fly out to New York a couple weeks ago and go film with them. Ended up in New Jersey, I think, is specifically where the actual studios were, and we filmed with them. And so airing on June 9th is the date on that. And then I'm sure reruns in perpetuity. So Jason and I will be on The Kitchen on June 9th at 10 a.m. And we're probably going to have a little watch party in Lee's Summit, which is our little hometown. And we'll be doing that. And then I just got confirmation yesterday that there's a grilling segment on the Today Show. They're going to feature me. So I'm going to be flying out to New York June 27th, I think, and doing a live cooking grilling tip demo on the Today Show on June 28th. So those are the two big things. I actually drive out to Atlanta next week to do a grilling class with a couple of my castmates from Chopped. There was a guy by the name of Big Jim out of the Atlanta area, and then the Barbecue Ninja, which is my buddy Craig. He and Big Jim and I are going to do a grilling class at the Royal Oak headquarters. So we're going to be doing a grilling class with, I don't know, six or seven proteins and sides. And we're going to talk about the show and what we're doing and who we are. And it's really great because Craig's coming off of a sixth place whole hog finish at Memphis in May. We're coming off a second place ribs finish. So we're excited to be able to cook together now down in Atlanta. So quite a few things going on there. And then that'll roll right into a couple more announcements in July that you'll just have to have me back or we'll have to keep up another way. So
anytime. Absolutely. Sure. Just killing it.
A lot of people are helping, so we appreciate it.
So let's move. Like I mentioned earlier, we're going to go through the lightning round. Are you ready?
Before we let you go, we're gonna make you do this.
We gotta,
no pressure.
We got to grill you. No?
Ba-dum-boom.
Yeah.
Ba-dum-boom.
Okay, so five questions, rapid fire. Question one, sticks or pellets?
Pellets.
All right. Number two, kale or parsley?
Kale. All day.
Just totally agree. Yeah. God.
Number three, what's your favorite thing to cook?
I love cooking steak. A good reverse sear. That's it.
Okay.
That's my jam.
Number four, what's your biggest goal in barbecue?
Oh, Jack Daniels. We want to cook Jack Daniels and then win it, right? Like that's because you got to be lucky and good. So we're fortunate. We've got a grand champion this year already. We cooked three times and we've got a grand champion and a second at Memphis. So I'd say we're doing good. That's why we love those pellets, man. It's consistent. It's so consistent. We can cook, but we got our grand champion down in Springfield at Rockin' Ribs, which then gets us in for hopefully an opportunity to draw. So again, the Jack Daniel is really a bucket list for us because you got to be good to get in there. And then you got to be lucky to get that, what they say, you got to get your bung pulled and get to the Jack. So if by chance this year's not the year, I certainly hope I'm able to go down and judge it.
I would love that as well.
Yeah.
Getting in the Jack and cooking would just be fun in itself.
It'd be awesome.
Man, winning it would be a whole nother event.
And the last question, what is your drunkest moment at a barbecue?
Okay, it's probably, I don't know if it was the drunkest, but it happened just at Memphis in May. So we went through, there's this ginormous hill that you have to climb up. And the way we worked it is you got to take an Uber, right? You got to Uber out of there because otherwise it's just parking. It's a nightmare. And we had, partaken, so nobody needed to be driving. And I have these pink shoes that I wear. Well, it was super muddy, so I put my rain boots on. And somehow, some way, I left my pink boots at the top of this hill. Or not my boots, but my pink shoes at the top of this hill. And I was just devastated because the next morning I went to go get my pink shoes. And I couldn't find them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where are they? Did I leave them on top of the Uber car? What happened? And I thought, oh man, my superstition, right? I'm not going to have my shoes. And I kid you not, the next morning we roll around. Jason and I get there about it ends up being about 5 o'clock in the morning because we got to get ready to get the ribs on. And they're scattered up on the lawn are my pink shoes in perfect condition.
That's awesome.
It looks like someone had kicked him around a little bit, but I got to wear my pink shoes. So if you look at the pictures of us up on stage, you'll see the pink shoes that I'm talking about. So I was pretty devastated that I was just drunk enough that I didn't even realize I was leaving my shoes.
That's great. That's perfect. That's the best answer we've had to question number five there yet.
Happy to oblige.
We appreciate it. We appreciate it. Well, thank you for jumping on with this. We know you're busy and taking time out of your schedule, but it's greatly appreciated.
This is fun, and I'm super glad to see you guys out there doing your thing. You've got some neat things, I know, in the process and working. Nick, you talk about hustling. I know you and Kevin and Blake and the whole crew are constantly out there seeking opportunities, and I know I've been watching some of the fun things that you're doing. Can't wait that they hit mainstream. That'll be pretty fun to watch.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's definitely been a pleasure. You know, you and Jason are just two of the nicest people in barbecue, and we just can't say enough great things about you guys, and are just so happy for all your success. And we wish for continued success for you guys.
We'll take any wishes and any luck we can get, and we're firing them right back at you. So it's been awesome. Fun getting to know you guys.
Thanks, Megan.
Let me take a second here to talk about another one of our awesome sponsors, Stubbs Barbecue. If you're in the barbecue community at all, I'm sure you've heard of Stubbs. They've got rubs, sauces, and let me tell you, their marinades, their beef and pork marinades are spectacular. So run out to your local grocery store, pick up some Stubbs, or hop onto their website, stubsbbq.com, and order some today.
All right, so let's talk for a minute about the Grasshopper 18, which is what the DeSoto, Kansas barbecue is called, that we did. It's been about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago now. 56 teams, high IQ 2, got grand champion. Getting basted was reserve, both of which scored over 700 points. So here's a couple stats for you, Nick. Out of the 56 teams that were there, they had 12 of the top 50 teams in the country. Four of which are in the top five. Getting basted, number one in KCBS in points right now. Boomerang Barbecue was there. They're ranked second overall in the country.
They took fifth.
Clark Crew was there. They're ranked fourth in the country. And Iowa Smoky D's was there, ranked fifth in the country. I mean, that's one of those where, you know, you see the team list come out ahead of time and you're like, oh, man.
Yeah, it was a bloodbath. You know, but I will say this. It was intimidating. You say that. You see that comes out. You know, I'm not by any means going to say that we are one of those top 25 teams, because those people earn and deserve that right, as you
absolutely
know. And, you know, they do 30 to 40 competitions a year. But I think we're a decent team. You know, we've won some contests and have won some awards. But it really will tell you where you stand, if anything. You know, and you can't afford to have a bad cook when you're with that sort of competition. So anyone that aspires to win a grand championships and or win the American Royal, or especially like the Invitational, I mean, this is what you're up against. This is who you're cooking against. And it was I don't want to say their pressure, but I definitely knew going into it, like, if we messed something up or something didn't come off the smoker well, that our day was done. There was no chance of
right.
One of those competitions where you might get by with three meats and the fourth not being that great. I mean, you had to be on par at everything. I mean, looking at high IQ that won, they had their worst score was a 171 in pork. So that's what it took for them to win it with a 705.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty impressive, especially having two teams over 700. There's some good cooks, you know. But that said, that's kind of something that we face every weekend we cook here in Kansas City. You know, it's how many of those 12 are based in Kansas City? you know?
Yeah. There's half of them at least.
Right. Right. So
It's definitely, I mean, Kevin, you and I have had the conversation. I think the barbecue competition circuit is getting tougher. I do think there are more teams that aren't necessarily cooking the 25 to 40 route, but there are more people that are cooking double digit competition these days, which is a good thing. You know, the competition is good. We definitely need to, the competitions themselves, I think, need to still find the guys that are wanting to come out and do it just two or three times, you know, may not be as serious about it, but find ways for them to get out and be able to afford to come cook. And, you know, that's what makes barbecue fun and what it is. So yeah, high IQ, you know, the competition, I will say there were some cool things that went on. The National Barbecue League, we kind of spoke about it before. They did a little cook-off on Friday where everybody was given, six cooks were given a Gateway smoker, and they were presented with some meat from Snake River Farms the day before. So they had an idea to kind of plan what they were going to do. They knew what they were going to be given to cook, and each one of them had an opportunity. I think it was maybe 2 hours on a Gateway drum to cook the meat that was given to them. I can't recall exactly what it was, but it was a lot of fun to see people, you know, see them engage. The crowd kind of got to engage with them a little bit. A representative from Snake River was there. Like I said, Gateway was there. And so it was really a cool experience to do that on Friday night, just to add a little something, you know, just some environment to the barbecue, even though DeSoto doesn't have a carnival, so it doesn't draw a huge amount of people off the street. But it was good. It was a fun contest. And, you know, I'd go back and do it again just to, like I said, see kind of where we stand. And it's always fun to compete against the best.
All right, so now getting to listener questions. We do have one from Danny Good that I'd like to touch on. He asked about brisket knives. He says, are the $50 to $60 knives with the plastic handles good enough, or should you drop $150 plus for a great one? I mean, I'll go ahead and jump in. And yeah. I think – you know, I mean, mostly what we use is kind of in that $50 to $60 range. You know, barbecue, when you're competing, I think it is expensive enough that I don't think it's worth it to spend another $100. Granted, it's, you know, typically a one-time spend because those knives will last you a long time, but I just don't, I don't see the value in spending another $100 on a knife when, you know, a $50 knife would, even that, you know, in some cases, maybe on the high side.
I don't necessarily disagree. 1 year, our early years when we were at the American Royal, I panicked and I went in there to the Swiss Army display and I bought a $120 knife. So we do have one of those, but the rest of ours are kind of, like you said, in that $50 range. And then even then, we have two or three knives that I've bought that are even used knives, in full transparency, that mm-hmm. are for $6 or $10. You know, you go to a cuttery store and they buy them back from restaurants and resell them. And as long as you honestly keep them sharp, they're great for when you're just doing some trimming and stuff like that. And maybe you don't want to necessarily use your, so to speak, like game day knives, your knives that you're going to be cutting the meat with at the competitions when you want the presentation to look really, really good. So we'll just use the cheaper knives. I mean, they're sharp, but we only paid $6 for them,
right?
For trimming and that kind of stuff.
I think a lot of it also, especially like Danny was asking about brisket, I think a lot of it has to do also with your cutting technique. You know, a lot of times you'll see, because you and I, of course, have both judged contests before and being certified KCBS barbecue judges, a lot of times you'll see brisket slices come in that you can tell someone has kind of zigzagged through, you know, kind of basically sawed at it.
Sure.
You know, so what you want to do when you're slicing your turn in brisket is just to make sure you get one long smooth stroke and just cut it all the way through, you know, because judges will see those marks where you stop and go back and stop and then pull and then stop and push. And, you know, they can definitely see those. So you just want to make sure that you get one long, smooth, clean stroke on that brisket.
Yeah. I think the type of the knife is kind of irrelevant. If you keep them sharp, I mean, that kind of, you know, I don't really know that the the price of the knife makes a difference.
The same thing can be said about smokers too. You know, you can go out there with the Mac Daddy, biggest badass, custom $15,000 Jambo, or you can go out with, some Weber bullets, and either one of those guys could win that day. So it's just making sure that you know your equipment and know how it works and use it to the best of your ability.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. I agree.
So, Mick, I think that's probably all the time we got tonight. We're running pretty long already, but the interview with Megan was awesome. Thanks again to her and Burnt Finger Barbecue. Make sure you go check out Megan and Jason at Burnt Finger Barbecue. You can find them on Instagram at Burnt Finger Megan. That's M-E-G-A-N, and at Burnt Finger BBQ, and you can find them on Facebook, Burnt Finger BBQ. And while we're throwing social media stuff out, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at @social_BBQ and on Facebook at @SocialSmokersBBQ. And don't forget to hop on Amazon Prime and check out Smoking Ribbons, a documentary. That's a documentary featuring us, Social Smokers Barbecue, and Megan and Jason with Burnt Finger. Follows us for 2 seasons at the American Royal Barbecue here in Kansas City. So check that out. It's a real great watch. So thank you all, and we will talk to you guys here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, as long as we're all still friends, we will be back after the Kelly Wilson barbecue at Rockhurst High School here in Kansas City in 2 weeks.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right.